You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
It's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast. Woo! We was up last week with High Res. Now we have got to carry the show without him. Can we do it? That was fun last week.
I don't know. That's going to be tough, man. Whenever you have opportunity to tell stories about porn stars,
right,
and sex toys and say it in the way that he said it, there's no way you can come back from that. There's no way.
Right. I think we have enough topics to help us with that, though. Help us ease us back into a normal flow. And who knows? I'm sure we'll be fine.
We do have a slew. But before we get to that, how was your weekend, fellas?
Mine actually did some outside work. You know, it's been good weather, so
outside work did you do, Gary? Facilitate, or did you supervise, or did you actually get your hands
dirty? I did a little bit of both. So
okay.
I had bought some more solar lights to go around my trees to light up my trees, and I bought some hardwire lights to put around the trees in my front yard. So we put all those up. My dad wired everything. He did the wiring. I just did all the digging and put the things in. And setting up all the solar lights will be later tonight, actually, because I have to wait for it to get dark so I can see the best lighting and setup for it. And then setting up, cleaning up around the trees, my fruit trees, you know, since I saw a video last time of it. Yeah. I got to get those ready so I can start putting some fertilizer into it to help the trees grow. That was about it,
Gary,
really.
What are you putting lights in your trees for, bro?
No, like, is it for spotlights? They've been there. I'm just rearranging and ordering some more just to make it look better. And some of them were on a timer, but they weren't working. Now everything works. Now my walkway lead up to my front door, all the lights work. Everything's set up. Just making it look good, you know. Got good weather. Got to use it while I can.
True.
Oh, okay. All right. So I did something very similar, but it wasn't work. Gary, I went on a bike ride for the first time in a very long time Saturday. And
now this is the first time since you abandoned your bike rider that failed last time. Hold on,
Speaking of bike ride, let me bring this up. Okay.
No. This has nothing. You had your time already, Gary.
Hey, D'Angelo, mute.
Oh, you activated.
All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to show it to everybody because I promised D I wouldn't show anybody, but I'm going to do y'all a walkthrough of the video of D'Angelo's wreck from his bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
He actually sent me the wreck for his bicycle wreck. So let me pull up his video and I'm going to give you a walkthrough of what happened. All right. Let's see. Okay, there we go. You might be able to hear it. We'll see. All right. Let's pull this up. And we have, starting off, D'Angelo is in the middle of the pack. He looks like, he said there was dogs. I remember when he told the story, he said there was dogs. I don't see any dogs in the video, but he looks like he starts to get over a little bit to the left and he cuts off the rider behind him and they clip his thing and he rolls. I mean, he just rolls. He's tumbling. Then he jumps up and gets ran over by another bike. It's pretty funny. It's only about 7 seconds, but he sent me it. And then there's another video of another wreck that was like a 3-person pileup. Now this one involved dogs attacking the people and the dog caught air and tripped over 2 bikes and then another person face planted. So their biking can be dangerous, it looks like. Wow. Okay, D, you can talk again.
That is insane, bro. Wow. That's insane. He seriously just hijacked my "what did you do this weekend?"
It really did.
They don't want to hear about my shortcomings, Gary. They don't want to hear about that at all.
I think everybody does want to hear about those.
we want to talk about great things, great stuff, bro. We don't want to talk about people falling short of their goals in life or on a bike ride. Okay.
Roll up the bike ride. It just triggered back in me.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna cut this weekend short because I want to ask this question. And I don't understand this for the life of me. And maybe you can help me, Gary, because you probably are an advocate for it. I'm not. I'll never be an advocate for this because of the bike incident that we had. why the hell is there no leash laws in some areas of the country or world or city or state or whatever it is, and there's leash laws in other places? But wouldn't it, I mean, I don't understand what a person's fight against leashes are, because they contain your animal, they keep them safe, they keep them from running out into the streets or biting or hurting anybody, like cyclists or kids or passerby. Why are people so passionate about leashes and having no leash laws so where they can let their animal just roam the countryside and bite or maim or get in people's ways or get hurt or whatever the case may be? Why are people against leashes?
So I would, I don't know. I'm not for or against. I use leashes if I'm in the public, but I would think it might boil down to some people think leashes can be harmful to pets because they're around their neck. Unless you have a full harness, then it doesn't. Maybe that's part of it, but I would agree with you. I would say, I think you should have a leash in a public area. Like if you're walking down the street, you should have a leash. But if there's a dog park, then that should be no leash. That's fine to me, because if you're at a dog park, you're at a specific area, it's fenced in. Or yeah, if you're at the beach, a dog beach, then that's fine. There's certain areas where you can have it. But if you're walking down the street, I think it should have a leash. You should have a leash because some people are terrified of dogs and it could scare them. Dogs get spooked by things. Like you said, dogs also run the road. I think if you're at home, you're obviously never going to have a leash. My dog has never had a leash on him at a house, at my house or any of my two houses that I've had. And it's just not going to happen. But that's at home. He doesn't need it. Now, if I go out somewhere with him, if I go to the vet, he's on the leash. He's walking with the leash. He's not just walking in with me. I think there is reasons for a leash.
You just proved my point. I'm saying that these dogs are at home when these no leash laws.
So why would they be on a leash then if they're at home?
That's what I'm saying. Okay, I'm the owner. I let them out to use the bathroom. As right. I let them out to use the bathroom, I don't have a fence. There's people on the bike going by, or your dog run out, he bite me. You're protected because of the no leash law.
So that's where I think there should be a rule. If you have a dog and you're going to leave it outside or let it outside without a leash or whatever, not walk it, then you should have the fence. You should be forced to have a fence.
Right.
Fenced area for them to be out in. That's a way to negate that. So that way you don't have issues like where on the bike, right, where the dog ran up and was attacking somebody's foot in a group of bikers. That's an issue that shouldn't happen. And I understand, there is no leash laws. But if you're at home, I don't think a leash law comes in effect. I think there should be something where if you're going to have a dog, you should have a fence, because there should not be open access to the public if you have a dog out. Personally, unless you have 100 acres, then you do whatever, I guess, because you're not near anybody. But
yeah, what about you, Tom?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just the nature of a dog. You know, is they're gonna run and chase after things most of the time, and I don't care how well trained your dog is. You know, they're easily distracted, or you know, not every dog wants to go chase after people. But it's to me, it's safer if you don't have a fence. You got to have them on a leash while you're out and about in public, just because, like Gary said, there's some people that don't like dogs. Some people don't want dogs running up and jumping at them. And, you know, at a certain point, you got to respect the rights of the human over the dog, even though I know lots of people like to treat dogs as humans at the end of the day. they're not protected under the Constitution.
Right.
So, yeah, after a certain point, you got to have some laws in place when it comes to animals like that. But
right.
I know that we've had a lot of topics on deck, but I have one that's your wife, D'Angelo, running back 34 wifey. She emailed us about, first of all, Gary, tell the people, we're going to have to get a segment where she comes on and fixes D'Angelo's lies.
Now, we have gotten a lot of messages saying D'Angelo lied on her and made things up that weren't said. So we might have to have that little section of the podcast without D'Angelo.
Yeah. We'll be like, Reese, let D'Angelo watch the kids. We're just gonna have a special segment with her on. Cause hey, she's hilarious. Y'all gonna love. We're gonna get that happen. But one of the topics she sent us was about the Coca-Cola scandal and being less white.
I want to hear about this Coca-Cola scandal, because maybe our listeners
don't understand
what it is that we're talking about. So you got to paint this picture so we all can look at this same photo together.
Right. Well, you know what, fellas? I have a plethora of different friends, and I actually have an expert on this topic that I want to bring on the podcast. And it's actually going to be fun for the listeners because this character is one of my good friends from middle school all the way up till now. Okay. And if you've heard Serve the Story, Season 3, Saint, the panther that sells Jamba Juices, was inspired by this friend, the Coca-Cola salesman. And so you're going to kind of get full circle.
Hold on, so he's a Coca-Cola salesman. So can he get me a Coke deal?
You know what? That's what we need to talk to him about.
Hey.
But I'll tell you this. So
are we talking about the drug or are we talking about the drink?
Well, you know what?
A Coca-Cola deal.
Right, Coca-Cola.
I thought you said a Coke deal. I was like, damn, we just going to do this right here on the podcast?
Hey, okay. We hold no punches here on the cinnamon and sugar. The sugar stands for something more than what you think.
Booger sugar.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, though, Gary. You're doing yourself no favors wearing a Dr. Pepper shirt while we're trying to get you
a Coke shirt, too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's bring him in.
My camera. There we go.
Let's bring him on real quick. All right. Now, this is my boy, Chris St. Andrews, a.k.a. Steru. And he, like I said, he's been one of my best friends.
Hold on, what was his AKA name?
Steru's.
I thought you said sterile.
I thought he said sterile as well.
I'm like, damn, we're going to bring him in. He got black in him and then say he's sterile? Damn.
Hey, I promise you, I got some pretty potent stuff.
I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
The reason we call him Standrews is because his last name is St. Andrews. So a lot of times when people see that written down, they'll enunciate it Standrews because they don't understand it St. Andrews. So that's where we got that from. So
okay,
Standrews is our resident Coke expert because he works for him. So I wanted to bring him on. He really messaged me. He was hot. He was like, Tom. He messaged me. He was like, Tom, you got to let me come on the podcast so I can clear the air because people are getting in on my company because he loves working for Coca-Cola, and he wanted to come clear the air. So, Standrews, give our listeners a little bit of what you understand as what went viral, why were they being less white, and then tell us what your side of the inside is.
All right. So, first and foremost, I just feel like I got to give a little bit of a disclaimer. Okay. So, I work for Coca-Cola Consolidated, right? So the home office is actually located out in Charlotte. So D, where you get your wonderful Coke products, that's coming from my company, right? So we are the number one bottler.
I'm drug free.
So we are the number one independent bottler in the world, right? So the way it describes is you have the Coca-Cola company, which that's like Big Daddy Coke. That's where the recipe is locked away in a vault somewhere. And then you have all these other independent bottlers. So we work very closely with them, and ultimately the type of message that they want to have, we kind of practice that within ourselves, right? So now back to the whole viral notion of being less white. I actually found out the same way you guys did. I saw something on Facebook. So
I thought you were going to say you less white. I was like, duh.
So when someone had said that to me at first, and I said, well, I already am, you know, and of course that didn't go well, you know.
Yeah, that's corporate world. Just awful. Yeah.
Right. So I'm a big time jokester about that. So, and I'm proud to be what I am, you know, multiracial. I think it's great. I got a little bit of everything, you know, so I've gotten to see the world from a different standpoint than a lot of other people. And I think that's been kind of a beautiful thing.
Right.
So anyways.
Go ahead.
Well, I got so many questions. So this is what I've got for you. I'm just going to give you the kind of corporate response that we have received. This is straight from the horse's mouth. So these are not my words. This is literally a company issued email that was sent to me. Hopefully it'll give some clarity. And, you know, if you guys got some questions, I'll be happy to answer to the best of my ability. So this is what I got from my company. The Coca-Cola company issued a statement clarifying that the video and images posted on social media are not part of its diversity and inclusion training curriculum. Rather, the content was initially accessible through a LinkedIn learning platform. The Coca-Cola company has since removed any links from its recommended training playlist, and I'm doing the air quotes because that's how it is in the email, that could lead its employees to the content in question. It also stated, we do not support the idea of anyone being less of themselves.
Okay.
So they're trying to say that it was just a link to some stuff that they didn't really thoroughly go through when they put it together?
Yeah, so more or less what it is. So a lot of you guys, if you've ever been on LinkedIn, it's kind of like a social media type platform for to help establish career opportunities and things of that nature. So a lot of big time corporations, they use some of the content on LinkedIn to kind of for, you know, training purposes or ultimately just to kind of get what they are looking for out, you know, out there to the masses. So really what it boiled down to is there was a training module that was on LinkedIn that was assigned to a Coca-Cola employee, and they did that training module. And in doing so, it kind of opened up the it opened up Pandora's box, if you will, to a bunch of other learning training platforms. And that person stumbled onto this one. However, it was not assigned to them by Coca-Cola. It's from it was another training module on LinkedIn that had nothing to do with Coke. It was something that some other company, entity, corporation put out there. It had nothing to do with Coca-Cola.
So Chris, are you protecting Coke right now and saying that they did the right thing, or you're saying that it's just a Band-Aid on a gaping wound?
So personally, I think they did the right thing. So my experience with Coca-Cola is it's been just truly incredible. From the time I got there, I've learned from so many different people, different ethnicities, different religions. And ultimately, no one has ever asked any of us to be anything other than who or what we are. So personally, I hate that this has happened. I hate that this kind of come down on the name that I wear across my chest each and every day. And it's been quite frustrating when you're out in the market and you're trying to sell drinks, and then you have all these different consumers come up to you and ask if that stuff's real. I've gotten it every day. I don't know, probably since the whole thing really went viral and took off. And, I don't know. I was, when that happened and time came to me and said, hey, I think this is something we're going to discuss on the podcast. And I said, hey, well, you need me on there so I can kind of defend what it is I do each and every day. And to let folks right. know that, hey, man, we're not a just white, just black, just Mexican, just Indian, just Asian. You know, Coca-Cola is worldwide, man. In fact, out of the three most recognized words in the world, hey, okay, and Coca-Cola is number three, or Coke is number three. So, you know,
yeah, but I don't think Coke is number three because of Coca-Cola. I think it's
a mix of both. How about that?
But I get it, though. I get it. I get it. It's okay. I'm going to let you have that, Chris. I get it. I'm going to respect what you do, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm with you, but I'm not with you. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying I'm with you. I, for one, think that a company shouldn't be held responsible for the people they hire to a certain degree. This is what I'm saying. If a person sends out that email and I fire that person that sent that email or sent that out to people, I essentially just punish the person for doing what it is that they doing. So then if I get rid of that person, then why is it still an issue? It's not the company that did it. It's not Coca-Cola itself, the brand, saying, hey, these things. It was a person that worked for Coca-Cola. But yet Coca-Cola has assumed the responsibility of some idiot that sent an email out that shouldn't have been sending the email out in the first place. So now they're apologizing on his behalf. I don't think that the company to take the fall for somebody that work in a company. However, here's the thing. Because we live in a civilization and a time like that, I can understand why they're taking all the heat. Because when somebody or FedEx driver or company driver wreck their car and they hurt somebody, you ain't going after the people that was driving it. You going after the damn company, because that's where the money is. That's where the glitz, that's where the glamour, that's where I can come up in the world, if you will. So when you have a name like Coke, or Coca-Cola, if you will, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. As awful as it sounds, it is awful. And you kind of fall under that same, hey, I'm not outraged because y'all feel how y'all feel about Coca-Cola. I've worked here for X amount of years, and they don't give a damn about your experience there. They don't care about your stories in their mind. You're just as racist or less white as the article say.
But that's what's wrong with society in general. Everybody jumps to the conclusion without any kind of facts behind it. They don't know the true story. They just see a headline, and then everybody jumps at it. Like he said it was from some other thing, not even dealing with Coke, and it got tied into Coke. So, like, that's a whole other aspect, and it's caused a negative publicity before. It's just like in our society, everything nowadays is you're guilty until proven innocent. You're guilty until proven innocent.
That's what I love about it, Gary.
Yeah.
This is what I love about it.
I don't like it.
And I'm going to tell you why I love about it, and this is why I sit back and I'm not laughing at you, but I laugh at situations like this because the entire time I played in the NFL, I've had more questions about players kneeling for the national anthem than I have on plays that I've ever made or anything like that. And it's been twisted through the media, and people have asked me these questions about the very thing that gave me money and supported my family. Now you see how we feel. You're like, dude, it's stupid. So I'm glad that you feel like we feel, but it's a shitty spot to be in because you can only tell them from your perspective.
Absolutely. No, like I've been a big fan. So for clarity, I'm a fanboy for a second. I've been big fans of you guys for a long time. But truth be told, I'm a bigger fan of the show since time kind of put me on, man. I've listened, tuned in every week, thoroughly enjoyed it. In a roundabout way, I feel like I've gotten to know you guys as people, not just, you know, all pro running back, you know, all pro tight end. You know, so it's been great to hear your perspective. And through that, I realized exactly kind of what you guys have been saying is as far as how you're kind of lumped into this whole big concoction. And really, you're just a small ingredient of that. But somehow you get all the blowback when things go, you know, awry. And that's kind of what we're getting being out there in the market. And it's quite frankly, it's sad, but the truth is like I said, and I'll defend it to this day, man. You know, some of my supervisors, they're Mexican, they're black. The my two closest coworkers that I work with, who trained me, that I've been around the most, they're both a black man and a black woman, and you know that's like my family, you know. So,
Chris, you ain't got to tell us to validate all that. That's what I'm saying. And then see, the more and more you talk, the more racist Coke sound. And these are the conversations that we try having with people, and the more and more they try to dig themselves out, they dig themselves even deeper because people don't understand your perspective. And the more you keep trying to get them to understand your perspective, the more and more they just like, yep, I knew I was right.
They put a hard stance in on their side, and they don't care. That's the thing, is nobody cares about other people's perspective. It's their perspective is all that matters to them. When you're talking about all this blowback, have they experienced less sales? Have they experienced difficulty with that since all this, or no?
Well, here's the fact of the matter, man. At the end of the day, we're the number one beverage in the world outside of coffee. I want you to think about that for a second. So to answer that question, no, we haven't. Are we losing, you know, some consumers? Maybe. But I'm sure we're probably gaining some consumers because they're wanting to rally to support us. You know, it's like there's two sides to every coin, right? So someone's going to be upset, but somebody else may kind of rally behind that. And you know, Gary, you've been on here a lot, and you're talking about how the media twists and turns things.
Correct.
And quite frankly, I think that's what we're dealing with because nobody's coming to me and asking what's going on. Nobody's coming to my supervisors and asking what's going on and getting their experience. They're just picking up, you know, cause they want the views. They want the clicks, they want the likes. Yeah.
Headline grabbers.
Yeah. It's not really about, you know, hey, what's really going on, you know? And like I said, you know, I'm passionate about what I do cause I feel it's a representation of me, and I'm going to defend it because I promise you, I'm white and I'm Korean. But if someone ever told me, hey, I need you to be less of whatever it is you are, I'm out. You know, I'm not going to be a part of that. And
how do you even be less of what you are? That's
that's very dumb rhetoric for sure.
It is, but yeah. I think that's kind of the conversation. You know, sometimes people want to put you in a box. You know, you guys talk about it all the time about being athletes, about what's expected of you versus kind of, you know, who you are. You know, and I think that's something we need to try to break away from as a society. Whether or not we're going to see that, I don't know. But we need to move in that direction.
Okay, Chris. So let's rehash the conversation, okay? I see you walking. You got a Coke shirt on. And I'm like, dang, man. you work for that racist company, man. How do you respond to me saying, like, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? You know they don't, they're racist at that company. How do you defend that? And do you spit facts or do you spit, like experience, like things that you've experienced in the company? How do you combat people talking bad about a company that has supported you for so many years?
Well, so it depends on, I usually try to enter, you know, in, go into this conversation and get a feel for the type of person I'm dealing with. I want harsh facts, and some people you can joke with, you know? So it just kind of depends, because I can give them what it is that I've experienced. And this is one of the things, from what I'm seeing, from my perspective, a lot of the people who are like, you know, Coca-Cola is less white. I'm just going to call it what it is. And I hate to say this. A lot of those folks they're Trump supporters. And what has Trump said? Fake news, you know, fake media, Facebook's fake. But the thing that's killing me is, why are you going to go ahead and listen? Now you decide you want to listen to what the media is saying and what Facebook is saying, because it's got you fired up. And, you know, that kind of goes to Gary's point. You know, why in the world are you paying that much attention to that stuff? Look at it with your own eyes and see what's really going on. Because, you know, that's, quite frankly, like I said, that's just not the case. You know, it's all relative to the type of person you're dealing with, because some folks, you can tell them and they'll be like, okay, that makes sense. I hear what you're saying. I'm going to think differently. And then some folks, they've kind of, you know, they've stuck their foot in the ground and they said that they're not moving and they're going to stand on whatever it is they believe in, and they're ready to die on that hill.
And, you know, it depends on the type of person and then just how big an old boy are you. Because if you ain't that big, Andrew Bay, like, hey, he's ready to throw down. You know what? No. I'm just kidding.
Hey,
the guy I talked to, the guy I talked to Friday was probably 6'4", 350. He was a big old boy. And I talked to him and we had a good laugh about it. But I gave him the facts. I read the email to him. And he was just dead set on believing what he wanted to believe in. And that's fine. That's okay. But my big thing is I feel if I don't have the opportunity to kind of get the truth out there, I'm not doing my part of being a good citizen and trying to give people facts.
Well, and it's just like the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. You can give somebody exact the facts of everything, but it's whether they choose to believe it or not or understand it, that's up to them. You can't control that. So I think all you can do is present your case or your facts or whatever, and then people can make their own assumption. That's their perspective, and that's what Dee always says. People only want to believe their perspective half the time, so it doesn't matter.
That's exactly what I've done with you guys and LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, but you guys will never.
You're the only one with that perspective.
I'm not going to let him do it. I'm not going to let him do it. I'm not going to let
him. We're not getting into that. I've listened to Tom hijack this podcast about LeBron James.
Yeah.
More times than I care. I got this question for you,
Chris. Can I play devil's advocate?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate. What if I did send an email out and say, hey, I want you to be less white? What does that have to do with me feeling like, I mean, if I'm locked into Coke or I'm locked into whatever brand it is and I'm brand specific, I'm not going to change. I may whine, complain, but if I tell you to do something, and this is why I'm saying this and I'm playing devil's advocate, because people sit back and they watch us play and they tell us what we need to do when we take a knee. You don't need to do that on your time. So I'm telling you, because we work in the same business, why it's a company, they can say and they can run their company however they want to run their company. What are you upset for? If they say, hey, you shouldn't kneel before the national anthem and it's on their time, then why should you be upset if the company sent out a company-wide email saying I need you to be less white? You either follow the rules or your ass fired. That's what you're telling us. Why can't you follow the rules like you expecting us to follow as it relates to us on the football field?
Yeah, so I guess recently I've had those difficult conversations about asking really truly asking people how they feel about certain things.
Yes.
And me, I'm not a person who's like easily offended. So I've started having those conversations and I think I don't necessarily think the two ideas are mutually exclusive, right? So I think it's a private company and they have a certain set standard of things that you're supposed to do. But like I said, I really do believe you've got to stand up for what it is that you believe in and what kind of speaks to your character. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's all you've got, right? Who you are as a person is ultimately It literally defines who you are. You know, I'm a hard worker, right? I nose to the grindstone every day, whatever's necessary, whatever's required of me. But the moment I'm asked to do things that physically don't have anything to do with how I do my work, but how I feel personally, then if that's the type of company that I work for, that's not the type of company I need to work for. So I think it's, I don't know, man, it's a tough choice, especially being, because at the end of the day, people listening to this, I'm going to be the Coca-Cola guy. They're not going to remember my name.
Right.
You guys are out in the public. They're gonna remember your name, especially if they're fans of football or of AEW or all these other things you guys have been affiliated with. You know, you're more likely to be remembered than I am, and that's just a fact. There's a ton of Chris St. Andrews out there slinging drinks for Coca-Cola right now. but if there's anything, I guess that I could leave this with, I just would hope that people would know at the end of the day that I work for a company that I believe in, because I feel it's the values that they have, it directly speaks to my character. And I feel like anybody, whatever they're doing, whatever job they're doing, whatever they're pursuing in life, that's what they need to do. It needs to be something that's going to speak to their character as far as who they are and how they want people to perceive them.
That's great. This, and I want to transition. Can I ask him the next question, Tom? Nothing to do with his job, but I think it's perfect. It's really perfect for this situation, because you said you're white and what?
I'm Korean and Japanese. I just recently found out my grandmother's
Korean and Japanese. Yeah. So I want to take you over to the Dr. Seuss books. We've had some talks and conversations about Dr. Seuss. They've banned 6 of the books.
That was Time's third favorite rapper.
That's my third favorite rapper.
Favorite rapper of all time. Yeah. So there's a depiction in What I See in Old Mulberry Street where there's an Asian guy with chopsticks, the bowl, the whole 9 yards. And everybody's like, hey, I don't understand what the issue is. We've been reading these books for years. You know, he doesn't mean anything by it. It's a clear depiction of an Asian person. Like, that's just how they're depicted. There's nothing racist about it. There's a small group of people or a big group of people, I'm not quite sure the size, that are upset and offended by it. I just want to hear what you have to say, not just by that, just by the 6 books, because you obviously have Asian blood in you, and, you know, it'd be great to get your, you know, your response to it.
So there's so many different things to unpack there. Like, I'm not big on cancel culture, right? Because I truly don't believe one wrong totally disregards all the good that you did. I think you're human, you're prone to make mistakes. And ultimately, I would hope that a person would learn from said mistakes. You know, that's ultimately what you would hope happen. And now my grandmother, when she came over here, my grandfather met her. He actually took care of her, nursed her back to health during the Korean War. And they got married. And when she came over here, she had a really hard time getting a job. She was pretty much ostracized from the community, basically the only non-white person there. And she had to fight tooth and nail for every little opportunity that she got. You know, she had to convince the folks that, hey, I may not speak great English, but math is math. I can calculate and I can do numbers. And my grandmother, as far as on the fly, is the best person I've ever seen with numbers. It's incredible what she's able to do. But I don't really get offended by anybody depicting somebody as Asian or how they look. It doesn't affect me in that way. However, I do understand that there are certain people who have sensitivities to things based on their personal experiences.
Yeah.
So my thing is this, man. I've always just been big on, you know, if you feel you need to disregard these books, then by all means, that's what you should do. I don't believe in this mass canceling of everything. And now, the disclaimer here, I'm not overly familiar with all those Dr. Seusses. I was Green Eggs and Hams, 1 fish, 2 fish, red fish, blue fish.
Yeah, I am.
That's right. So some of these other ones I'm not overly familiar with. So I don't necessarily want to comment on those per se, because I'm just not overly aware of the depictions in those books. But like I said, I do feel that if there's an issue a person takes with them and they want to kind of omit that, that's their prerogative and they should be able to do so. You know, I just like I said, I just don't really know. I don't know if there was necessarily harm intended with those books. And if there if there was, then I don't think that's something that we should necessarily indoctrinate our children with. But, you know, I certainly don't see Cat in the Hat bothering anybody. So I don't necessarily feel we should cancel that.
Yeah, like for me, I feel like for the whole situation, like everybody does it nowadays. Everybody, there's stereotypes. Everybody knows there's stereotypes for every race, religions, everything. There's a stereotype for all of it. And I feel like he was, when he was drawing it, he was using a stereotype. And people are looking at everything as stereotype now is a very negative connotation. Everything's negative. Everything's negative. And maybe he had been to China and that's what he saw. So that's what that was his view of what it was. So that's what he drew. We don't know. Obviously he's not alive to defend himself. And I agree with you. I don't believe in the cancel culture aspect. What happened to everybody always talks about, oh, everybody deserves a second chance, all this kind of stuff. But if you use cancel culture, you don't get a second chance. That's not how it works now. Because if they cancel you, you're not getting another chance no matter what you did. Whether bad, small, if somebody gets offended by it, nope, you're canceled. And I think that's a slippery slope, because then where do you draw the line? What deserves to be canceled versus what doesn't? And just because maybe 100 people, well, if 100 people are upset by something, can something be canceled now? Or does it have to be a certain number? There's so many factors that come into when it comes to the cancel culture aspect. But like with these, yeah, if you don't want to, like you said, if you don't want to read it, you don't want to look at it, that's fine. Don't. If you don't want it in your schools, that's fine. I don't think you stop making the book. I don't think there was harm intended for it. People still do this in comedy bits all the time. They use stereotypes of people and races when they're doing their comedy bits. And people have issues with it at times. Other people think it's hilarious because everybody's different. Everybody has a different perspective. We're never going to be the same view on everything. It's just not going to happen. And that's the great thing about our world. You know, now if it's a very negative aspect, like you're intending harm, then there's an issue. But when there's no harm intended, then I don't see why these should be an issue. I really don't. But that could just be me because I'm white and people are going to say, oh, you're white, you don't understand. That's fine. You can say that. But I just don't think nobody's going to be the same, though. Nobody's going to view the same and think the same on everything. That's what's beauty about our nation. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion and their own thoughts. And we're trying to make everybody have to think the same and believe the same. And that's just never going to work.
No.
Okay. So
that actually goes against what I feel like, you know, America's supposed to be about, is celebrating our differences and not trying to make everyone the same, because we're just not. And if we can't celebrate our differences, you know, in a good way, then I understand. Maybe you want to work on that. But to me, honestly, the blowback was I'd never even heard of the books that they were.
And now they're super popular. Everybody's trying to buy them and all this.
Right. I actually have a buddy of mine that like buys books by like the box. Like he's a guy I went to college with, and he'll buy crates of books with like over 500 books in it. And he said that these books used to come in and, you know, they'd be worth like 50 cents. And like he posted a picture the other day where one of those books sold for like $500. Because people are trying to buy them up now, because it's kind of like a collector's item, I guess. So it's crazy how the cancel culture does one thing in intention, but then actually ends up causing another reaction. So it's like we just got to get over it. We got to get over the cancel culture, because not everything needs to be taken out completely. You know, because I understand that stuff offends people, but if we go around canceling every little thing that offends somebody, we are going to be stuck in a world of nothingness. And the fact that these Gen Zs came after the king himself, Eminem, and trying to cancel Eminem.
I saw that.
Look,
I'm heated.
Hold on.
My girlfriend, who doesn't listen to rap music at all, she sent me that. She goes, can you believe this shit? Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to go off of the Joker. I'm going to go off the Joker and I'm going to say, I just want to see the world burn. And this is why I say I just want to see the world burn. I'm okay with the cancel culture.
I disagree with you. I think you're just saying that to play devil's advocate, which is fine.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm 100% playing devil's advocate, because I don't think you guys could come up with a better way to refute this. This is why I like cancel culture. Because with the cancel culture, they're going to get some good stuff and they're going to get some bad stuff. The thing is it's going to be some very bad stuff. So when cancel culture first came around, we was all for it. We was like, rah, 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 rah. And then they started taking Dr. Seuss and like stuff that we liked. And we was like, whoa, hold up. What the hell y'all got? We created this animal. We got to deal with it. So stop being all upset and shit like that. Because when it first started, we were all on board with cancel culture. Now flew out of control where it's taking Dr. Seuss books. And I'm okay with them taking the Dr. Seuss books. And this is why I'm okay with them taking Dr. Seuss books. Not because I'm offended by what he had in the books, but because that's what comes with Pandora's box. Like the statues, for instance. Those statues have been up for years and years and years of these Confederate leaders. And then all of a sudden now, 2020 and 2021, those statues come down. And everybody's like, oh, well, they've been up forever. Or they did, you can't use that as an excuse. Because if there's a large group of people that are upset or feel like there's an unjust done to them, then, I mean, they were strong enough to get those six books banned. If they're strong enough to get those six books banned, then you got to just assume that it's a large quantity of people that's affected by this. So, therefore, because there's a large group of people affected by this, we need to do something about it.
D, what's your favorite thing?
What do you mean, what's my favorite thing?
Like, you love hunting, right?
I love hunting.
All right. So what if millions of people band together and say, we should ban hunting, never allow it again. It's terrible. It should never be done. D, we're canceling it. You can't do it again. I'm sorry. How are you going to feel about that? I'm asking.
No. This is what you have to understand. I deal with this all the time because of the gun laws and things like that they're trying to put into place. That has something to do with hunting. That's why I pay very close attention to it in terms of, you know, I'm not one of those guys that say, hey, man, you take my gun, you can pry it out of my cold, dead hands. No, I'm not like that. I'm definitely not like that. I'm not going to die for this gun. You can have it. Here you go, sir. You know, I didn't mean nothing by it. But you know what I'm saying? Before we get to that point, though, I'm a bitch and complain. Like, nah, this ain't going nowhere. I'm keeping my gun, and I'll do everything to fight for it because I hunt. So I understand that. What I'm saying is when cancel culture first came around, we were all for it. We was cheering it on because it was taking shit away.
Some
that didn't affect us.
Were for it.
I'm about to say, what is this?
I don't think everybody was for it. That's the thing. It's like we still had the same people.
I'm going to tell you when cancel culture came in the picture, and I'm going to tell you how I know y'all was all on board. When Martha Stewart came out and they said that she used the N-word, we was all on board on that's when cancel culture first started, and it wildfire after that.
Let's see.
Now you can't control it. Now you're like, nah, we ain't happy about it.
No, and so that happened. Cancel culture happened, and she's one of the few that were given a second chance. She's like best friends with Snoop now.
Snoop Dogg.
Right? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
she's one of the few second chance. And it took years upon years to get that second chance.
Well, she went to the pen, and so she got cred now.
It was Martha Stewart, and then what's the lady that do the fried chicken?
That's what you're talking about. What's her name?
Not Paula Deen.
Paula Deen. Maybe it started with Paula Deen. Well, she said the N-word. She had to come out and apologize. She still ain't bounced back. But that's when cancel culture first started, and she came out and admit that she had said some things, and we was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, when we was fanning that flame, we just didn't know that them embers was going to detach from that flame and pick up in other places. And so because that flame was fanned and those embers took flight and started burning up other places, we got to deal with that shit. Yeah, so that's why I'm saying I'm okay with the cancel culture because they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, we can nip it in the bud on certain aspects. Certain things we don't need, like he said with the Eminem lyrics. Eminem, you like Eminem. They're trying to cancel him because of his lyrics. It's Eminem.
Right.
And he doesn't care, though. He doesn't care.
He has no care.
Oh, no.
But everybody else does.
I hadn't watched it, but I saw that he released a video called Tone Deaf. I need to go check that out, but apparently it's his response. But what I was going to say is cancel culture is not necessarily cancel until you are no longer relevant. Because if you look around, I think sometimes cancel culture is – whoever is the entity that's over somebody. So like Hulk Hogan, for example, we know because of wrestling that he got canceled from WWE because of using the N-word, brother. And so what happened was they took him off everything. They took him out. And then what happened? He eventually came back. Because what cancel culture is for companies is let's put you on the shelf until people forget. And then you can make us money again. And that is, my friends, what cancel culture to the businesses is. Let me take this topic that's hot right now, because people understand our mind frame is we are very short mind framed as far as what is in front of us right now and what makes us angry right now. We take that, and you know, a month, 2 months, a year later, people barely probably even remember that Hulk Hogan did that. They see him out. They love him. There's obviously some group of people that still have those feelings, but you don't hear about Hulk Hogan being canceled anymore. And he's back in the WWE and all their stuff. So it's like, at what level is cancel culture cancel somebody, or is it just let's buy time until people forget about this?
Well, it also just depends on what it is. Like, I could also bring it to Pepe Le Pew. There was a whole thing about that a couple days ago where
rape culture.
Yeah, they said it makes rape culture. It's a cartoon. Kids don't see that way. I guess as adults you might, but as a kid you don't think that way. You don't see that way.
Bro, hold up, Gary. When they said Pepe Le Pew, I was like, damn, what did Pepe Le Pew do? And they was like, rape culture. I started replaying back in my head. I was like, man, he been chasing that chick for a minute.
As an adult, you see things differently than kids do. Correct. There's so many cartoons you can go back. They have references that aren't great. But the kids, you're not registering that. You're not thinking about that. That stuff doesn't even play in your mind and stuff like that. So I don't know about all that stuff.
It's kind of like Baby It's Cold Outside, like how they canceled that song a few years back. And it's like, I mean, I can understand, but I feel like a lot of times it's just people reaching to be mad about something. And that's just where I think it goes wrong for us.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, Tom. And Gary, you can listen to you too, Chris. I'm okay with everybody being upset about something because, damn it, when I get upset about something, I'm going to need y'all to be just as genuine and cool with how I am because I'm respecting y'all being mad at stuff. So now respect me. When I get pissed off and I want to go off on a rant or something like that, that's all I'm saying. That's why I'm only agreeing with y'all. Even though some of the shit's stupid that we do or we fake be offended by, but I'm going to respect it because when I go off on my shit, I want y'all to respect mine. That's all I'm saying.
Chris, I have one more thing about Coke real quick. How do I get a sponsor deal? Like, how do I get a deal over here? You know, I drink Coke all the time. Like, what are we doing?
Here's the thing. So Tom was talking to me about that. So I'm going to kind of reach out to some of my people and just kind of see what we can do. Maybe a little plug here and there.
I will do anything. I am a Coke guy.
Granted, I'm kind of like a, you know, on the low end of the totem pole, but I'm rapidly working my way up. So once I get the conversation with some of the big wigs and be like, hey, look, I know some guys.
I just have to put it out in the air. I just got to put it out in the air.
Yeah, I know some guys that you know, we could definitely benefit with. You know, some sponsorships for them, and we'll help them take them places, and they'll take us somewhere in return too.
And shoot, after today, Standrews, I mean, the way you came on here and you championed for Coca-Cola, I feel like you got a raise and a promotion coming your way after today.
Absolutely. I do have this question though. Before we let him go, because I know we got to let him go, and I know he don't want to do the whole podcast with us, but I got to ask you question.
I'm down, man. I got a bone to pick with all of y'all about everything.
Yeah.
You got a bone.
So you obviously you work in the industry and I'll give you that the same thing, Tom, but the question I'm about to ask more, what the hell is, and I want y'all to explain this to me because I'm on the outside looking in. I'm black. You Asian. There's two white guys on here. Maybe the two white guys can show. What the hell are culture appropriation classes? What the hell are they teaching in these classes for you to be more sensitive to the people that you work with? If you're not sensitive to their ass now, you ain't gonna be sensitive to their ass later. You're just doing that shit to get through whatever little trouble that you got in to get out of and say, yeah, I'm culturally. How do you even put a class together like that to feel like it doesn't even sound positive? It sounds like you sending me to a class to feel sorry about somebody that's not the same person that I am, and then you're going to send me back into the workplace and want me to feel bad for this person in terms of how they was raised, or maybe nothing sounds like it's a positive there.
So before he answers, I feel like if you're going to do that, then you're hiring the wrong people. If you're having to have those classes, then you're hiring the wrong people. They don't need to be working with you. Those classes for any business anywhere, you should not have to do that, because if you have to do that for people, then you're not hiring the right people for the job.
Yeah, I agree with Gary 100%. But the big thing is you know, this kind of coincides with that whole cancel culture thing. You know, people have been coming at somebody for one thing or another. Like, they're trying to cancel Eminem now. They tried to cancel him when he came back out in the 90s. You know, Hillary Clinton was all at his throat because of his lyrics. And now, because he's anti-Trump, now all of a sudden they want to. It's about what can they do for you, right? So I really, as a person who is also white, and I kind of deal with that as well, because I'm a lot of times people tell me up front, you know, well, you know, you can't really speak on this. You're white. And then they see my little straight off the boat Korean grandmother come up and give me a hug. Then they all of a sudden understand that, hey, maybe this guy has a little bit more of a perspective than I'm willing to give him credit for. I mean, ultimately, what I really think is like what Gary was saying, man, if you can't tell from a person's interview straight up that they're not for the advancement of people and taking care of people and working with people, then that's not somebody you need. You know, you don't need to have those type of individuals. I really think we're having these type of discussions because that's kind of the hot button issue, right? Like, think about all the stuff that's going on with Black Lives Matter. Everybody's trying to get out ahead of it because ultimately, if you don't take a stand, it's going to affect your bottom line. Like, that's just straight up fact out. That's what folks are worried about. They're worried about their revenues. You know, and there's very few companies, I think, that really care about the inclusion of people. And like I said, from Coca-Cola, with my experience, they actually do care about that. That is important.
And that's my problem. Like, I don't think businesses should be putting things out there just to do it to help their bottom line. I know a lot of them are. They should do it because they care and they want to do it.
Right.
But that's the thing. There's such blurred lines there. You're never going to get that because money speaks to everybody. Money talks. Right. That's all they care about, which is sad. But that's something we're never going to truly know. And that's why you see everybody's trying to do something because they want to be in the now, because that is supposed to be in the now, I guess, or something now. It just doesn't make sense.
So, D, let me ask you this. You talked about the cultural appropriation classes. At what point – so, say Coca-Cola hired, you know, let's just say for an African-American – let's say they hired you to do a cultural appropriation class for the Black community. Just list some of the things that you would think need to be included in teaching others about your culture.
I don't know what the hell I could teach them, bro. The only thing that I could teach them is to feel sorry for me. I can't teach them. Like, that's the only way that I could look at cultural appropriation classes.
Well, what things that you feel like represent the Black culture would you say, all right, yeah, this needs to be in there. This needs to be on there. Well, like, do you have any off the top of your head?
What I think he's saying that.
No, there's nothing. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing there because there's nothing different between me and you, Tom. There's no difference between Gary and Chris. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing different than how we, because I could come out and I could say, and this is why, and I want to really be clear when I say this. When I say that there's no difference, I'm saying that if I say, hey, you know, cops are out here killing Black people, you would also then and say there's cops out there killing white people. So it's all truthful. All of that is true. So to stay away from all that, I'm just going to encompass us all into that group. You see what I'm saying now?
Well, and I think what he's trying to say, too, is he's saying that, like, the culture appropriation might be just teaching to feel sorry when it's not what it's supposed to be
about.
That's the only thing
that they can teach you is to feel sorry for another race or another culture, because what you're going to tell them, like, hey, you know, well, you shouldn't have said this. You should have said that. And what you're saying after that is something that may feel sorry for the other race when it shouldn't be cultural appropriation classes, period. Fire their ass and move on.
Well, what I'm getting at is, like, when I think of cultural appropriation, I think of somebody stealing somebody else's culture as far as things that they do. And
dressing up.
Like,
okay.
Stuff.
So I'll give you a case in point. Okay. And maybe you can help me with this, Tom. I'm racist. I'm racist against white people. I got to come to your class, Tom. You teaching a class on cultural appropriation. What are you going to teach me about being white that's going to help me with me being Black?
Right. Well, the thing is, what I would say to that is, I feel like the white culture is what has been dominant in America for a long time, as far as that's what we're taught in school. That's kind of like where our history has been. The point of view we've been given is from that side of the, you know, the spectrum, because let's just call it what it is. You know, America was founded by, you know, the European, you know, delegation, whatever you want to say. So white people have kind of been leading the way as far as telling people what the history of America is, telling people like how we live our lives. So I'm saying is, as a white person, if I'm going to experience other cultures, like, you know, whenever you brought up hot water cornbread at Thanksgiving time, I didn't know that that's what it was called, even though I had had it before because I had been raised in the South. So there's little things where our cultures may cross, but you may call something one thing. I may go outside and play hopscotch where you may go outside and play double dutch. You know what I'm saying? It's just things where we grew up differently and things that you might have seen versus things that I've
seen. Time. Before, this is why I think it's funny.
Right.
Before, if we're on a job and somebody was to use a racial slur towards me, there's no class that you can go to right. teach them not to say that word because they know what's behind the word. So right. what kind of cultural appropriation classes can I go to right. to help change my mind about something that I say? I'm just doing that as a publicity stunt, bro. You're not going to change how I feel in a 3 weeks course.
Well, I don't think, you know, it is, you just say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I do agree that these are the type of classes and education that needs to happen at a younger level. So like, you know, when you're actually in school, learning about different cultures and being able to appreciate different cultures, because that's what it is. We need the education to start younger, because you're right. By the time you grow.
I totally disagree with you. I totally disagree with you.
Tony. Why is that?
This is why I totally disagree with you. If you teach every student in America the American culture, even if you left, and I had this conversation because I was playing devil's advocate, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. If and you know what? I'm not even going to play devil's advocate. I'm just going to say it.
So devil.
if you teach Americans uh-huh. American history
right.
and everybody's American and we treat each other the same, you don't have to teach them about other cultures because it wouldn't matter. You would teach them. You would treat them like a normal person would treat a normal person. You wouldn't have to have where they come from and what country they come from to be a decent fucking person. All you got to do is just not say stupid
right,
shit.
But that goes back to taking away everybody's differences, which we also said earlier we didn't agree with. Because although we are all American, there are different things that make us unique based on who we are, how we grew up, and our life experience. So we can't just erase all of that and say, oh, we're all Americans. As great as that sounds, because yes, we are all under America. But I think it's the appreciation of everyone's different culture is what actually makes us the American experience. And that's what we need to learn is like, okay, yes, you're American, but this is what you deal with growing up. Okay, yes, I'm American. This is how I grew up. And just learning all those backgrounds and how they fit into the puzzle that is America, instead of saying, oh, this is America and it's just a blue puzzle. You know what I'm saying? Or one color puzzle, because that's not ever going to be what America is.
I just made you step your damn game up, Ty.
Devil's advocate. Yeah. And so I hear what you're saying, but that's where I'm coming from. It's just, it's funny, the people you meet and interact with at a Chili's. So the other day before work, I went to Chili's because I like to go try their margarita of the month, you know, every now and then, their little $5 margarita of the month. So I sat down at the bar and I'm sitting in there getting ready for work, and a gentleman walks up, you know, he's got like dreads all the way down his back. He's got one of those head pieces on, so you can tell he's a trucker. And so I just started talking to him about, you know, different things. And he was from Mississippi. And we had a great conversation about where he came from, how he grew up, where I came from, how I grew up. And we just talked about how we really feel like in today's world, it's going to start with teaching kids and the younger age groups, like educating them on how to be united with our differences, because that's what everybody's trying to do, is trying to.
This is so fucking crazy to me. We're having a conversation about united and different, where we can just treat people like we want to be fucking treated, and we don't have to have this conversation.
I hear that. And that's one of those things where it seems like it's a nice theory, but I don't think we will ever be able to treat everyone how we want to be treated until we can appreciate their differences from ours.
I'm going to tell you something, and I find this very crazy. I honestly believe the only way that we can fight racism in this country or in any country is through our kids. And this is how I think you fight it. I can ask my kids right now. They're 10, 7, 5, and, well, the 10-month-old, he won't say anything back to you. When I get them to describe another kid, they never say, like, hey, that white girl over there or that black girl over there. They always describe what they have on. You know, when they start describing them as black and white, when they hear you as a parent or somebody else say, hey, look at that black girl. Now I got a label on it, or look at that white girl. So it's not something that that, hey, they pick up on their own. It's something that they're taught from somebody else that said it. And that's where the labels come from. And then like, oh, okay, black is different from white. Now, as they go through their adult years or their adolescent years, they start putting, you know, definitions to now that color now. And then now when they get up to where they're an adult and stuff, now they've already established maybe some prejudices, or maybe they've established some form of racism just based off clearly hearing right. what they've heard throughout their life.
And that's why I agree with you to the point of, yes, that is great to think about and to have that aspect. But if you're talking to somebody about racism today, D'Angelo, and they come at you and they say, oh, I don't see color, what would you think?
Well, I've heard that before.
Exactly.
I've heard that before.
And so that's kind of what kids do. They don't see color. And
well,
so they don't,
kids don't, but we do.
That's what I'm saying. But so what happens is as you grow and your knowledge expands, you naturally have things that build up. So that's why I said it starts with educating the kids on the differences and how you're different and not letting these prejudices build up in your mind. Because at a certain point, you can't just not see color, but it's about changing how you think about when you see different colors is what I would say.
Well, I think what D's saying and how y'all are different in is you're saying teach a class to help with the differences and stuff like that. D's saying that his kids don't describe by color. So if you teach a class, you're gonna have to be calling them by their color of their skin when you're describing things. So now you're putting that label on them, and that's where D's saying that shouldn't be a part.
So you don't even have to bring that up. Don't even say shit about that, because now you're putting a label on
it. You can just say their name and like what they did. You don't have to bring up that they were black, white, Asian, or anything. You don't have to bring any of that stuff up. You could just say what they did, who they were, what their name is, and then the kids will see themselves. They'll figure that out. But that's what I think that's what D's saying that's different than yours.
I don't think you understand, Tom. And this is I have to say this, and this is why it's very interesting. And Chris, you may get an understanding of this too. And I want you to chime in. Like our kids, they got Uncle Gary, they got Uncle Bill. Like if as far as uncles, my kids got an array of all races.
They do. Free,
I'm talking about every one of them. And they don't ever see a difference in them. Like they're all the same color to them,
right?
Which is absolutely fascinating. And they fit in, you know, with them or whoever, because they have that melting pot. Like, so because they have that melting pot, they're hella comfortable whenever they go, wherever they go, until somebody's like, whoa, something doesn't look right.
Now explain the incredible story with your kids and me.
So, they was picking characters, right? They was talking about characters in The Incredible, and they was like, hey, you know, I'm Mr. Incredible. And I'm like, okay, cool. Mom is Miss Incredible. And they was saying, and they was like, Gary, he's gonna be Frozone. And I was like, why is Gary Frozone? And they was like, yeah, he could be Frozone. And I was like, nah, he really can't be Frozone. And they was like, yeah, he 100% can be Frozone. And Gary goes, yeah, I'm Frozone.
The kids saw it in one way. D was putting the race behind it, and the kids weren't. So that's the way he's teaching. Yeah. That's what D is saying is different.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just do it. Yeah. And then here go Gary. Gary goes, I am 1.5%.
Yeah, it's like your kids were kind of linking the relationship between Frozone and Mr. Incredible to you and Gary.
Yes,
with them,
right? But so, then we as parents or guardians. But you go ahead.
I was just wondering, how's Gary doing with little GJ? How's he?
GJ's doing good. I see my little girl just poked her head in the back. She just took off. But
yeah, I just didn't know how he was doing.
He's a deadbeat for sure. We're gonna talk about deadbeat.
Well, last we heard, he had GJ riding on a pink bike, so we know he ain't.
He's such a horrible father.
But you know, say this, I think that would be great if we could ever get to a point where, you know, everyone treats everyone the same without having prejudice. I just don't know if that's ever going to be possible. And maybe it's just because my mind can't comprehend it, because that's not how we are. But that's why I say, like, educating people on people's differences and helping people to appreciate how people are different, as opposed to saying everyone has to be like this, is where I would go with it. But that's just one of those things we'll have to agree to disagree on. But Standrews, we appreciate you coming on. I know we got to wrap it up. We've kind of reached the
end. Yeah, we do. He got that.
We appreciate it.
I'm telling you, North Carolina win one game against Duke, man. Everybody, two, Carolina fans. Everybody. Y'all still trash, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, y'all been trash for the last couple years.
We're not as trash.
Okay.
Right. We won't talk about that.
You know what I'm saying? We're a little bit better. We're like recycled, right? We have a use. Duke is like in a landfill buried. They done.
Okay.
You know, we can get recycled into the tournament and something might happen, you know. Might luck up to a Sweet 16 or something. We've got the talent. You know, we got the coach. We just got to put it together. We really want to
thank this delusional North Carolina fan for joining us today on the podcast. We wish you a lot of success in whatever you decide that you want to put your Coca-Cola hands on.
And but I look forward
for
to
the fact that North Carolina probably don't make it to 32, but just, you know, that's just me, but you know, good luck, brother.
Hey, thanks guys. I appreciate it.
And I'm not gonna let you slide by without me talking about Memphis should have upset Houston this weekend, but then they let it slip through their fingers, D'Angelo. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did see it, man. It was horrible. It was horrible because it was a great 5 seconds.
Right.
He hit the three to tie the game up 64-64. He ended up hitting the three at the end. I mean, I understand that. It's cool to lose in the fashion like that. We may have what it takes to get to the dance. We may not. But hey, you know what? I'm okay with that. It's just I'm not delusional. I know. I know. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm not
right.
I don't expect us to have the top five picks in the draft or the top 10 or whatever the Cameron crazies has turned him into. I understand that. I live my life the way I'm supposed to live it.
Well,
I don't live beyond my means like my man Chris over here is in North Carolina.
Hey, I'm a great man of hope. I believe a lot can happen, you know, with the right mindset and the right work ethic. You can get anywhere.
So I'm going to tell y'all the type of person Chris is, and I don't even know him. But Chris is this type of person. He say all these nice things, and when North Carolina down by 8 with 2 minutes to go in the game, he throwing shit. Like he don't want to answer 100%. The phone. That 100%. Whole man of hope shit is all out the window. 100%. It's all destruction.
100%. All right. True story. I've been through 3 or 4 phone screens, watching games, throwing my phone. So 2016, we lost to Villanova on that last second shot. I threw my phone so hard it got stuck in the drywall. It was like a ninja star. It was like stuck in the drywall. Like, I was so upset. And then a couple other times against Duke, I threw my phone. But we won all those games. And everyone's like, was it worth it? And I was like, if you tell me that the secret to beating Duke is breaking a phone, I'm going to go through a phone every year to make sure we beat Duke. Hey. I was calling what it is, man. Big fan, man. I'm big sports guy.
I knew you was that type of person. I didn't even know that about you. I could tell just by the conversation that we was having. You was that type.
See, it's so funny that you say that because it's so true. He's always the first one to say, "Well, we lost now."
I'm a man of hope.
This is how big a UNC fan is. He's such a big UNC fan. I don't know if he's a bigger UNC fan or Duke hater. So back when we were in college, when Duke was in the finals against Butler.
Okay, we don't need to bring this up. I'm going to start pulling up some stories for you.
I secretly filmed him with my laptop watching the Butler game and put together a highlight reel of all his like yelling and screaming at the TV because of a Duke versus Butler game. UNC wasn't even in there. And I showed him that afterwards. He's like, okay, maybe I do have a problem.
I knew he was a big fan because the hat that he has on matches not nothing that he has on. It's a red Coca-Cola shirt on. Like, this is how you know when you willing to deal with the colors clashing just to support your team, you're a real fan.
Yeah, I promise you, I didn't step out in public like this. I was definitely wearing a Carolina shirt beforehand. And Tom goes, hey, man, throw a Coke shirt on real quick. And I said, all right, I got you.
And actually, he's doing his best MJ to UNC, the red, you know, the Chicago red to Carolina blue. That's what he's going for. Because
I'm gonna leave y'all with this real quick because this is the biggest bone to pick I got with y'all. Y'all can discuss this with time on the next podcast. I'll listen to him. So Michael Jordan is the GOAT, flat out, straight up. But what kills me is you two guys won't give LeBron his due credit as number two. And so I'm gonna leave time handle that because he's number two. He's Jordan's head and shoulders above LeBron, but LeBron definitely too. That, so you guys can hash that out on the next podcast. We're getting close to our time, so I'm just gonna leave y'all for that one for next week.
And just like in true LeBron fan type fashion, look, I don't want to be great. I just want to be close to greatness. Let's not talk about the number one spot. I'm definitely number two. Like, can we argue that? Like, no. It's either you either number one or we don't talk about your ass.
That's my argument with Tom.
Your mark's really high. You want to be number two, huh, Chris? You worse than damn Tom.
No. He's the biggest MJ fan. If you ask any of our friends, we spent many a drunken night at the bar having this conversation for hours. I beat him down enough to where he's finally able to at least put LeBron number two and be solid with it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with that. I tell people, I'm all right if you have MJ as the GOAT. I'm not going to argue with you because
That's all you do is argue.
I argue with people that disrespect LeBron as not being as great as he is. I will say, I will give my case as to why I think LeBron is better. But if you want to say MJ's better, I'm not going to say you're dumb for that opinion. But if you try to put anybody else in front of him, that's when I come ready with the cape tied on real tight.
We don't have to talk about that. We only talk about ones on here, and you always trying to talk to LeBron. LeBron's not a one. We're talking about the one.
Right. Yeah,
and Michael Jordan.
That's fine.
In y'all's opinion, I'm ready.
Hold up. Let's nip this in the bud right now, Gary. If LeBron fans right now want the number two spot, like Chris said, well, y'all got the number two spot. Go ahead. Y'all can have it. I'm glad y'all
don't ever mention LeBron's better than Jordan again, and I'll be happy with it.
Thank you.
Can you do that time?
No, because in my opinion, he's number one. But I will let you have. If you want to say MJ's number one, I'm not. Like, you know what? This podcast going off the rails real quick. And so, thank you for coming on, Chris. And I appreciate that last little statement because you know I love to sneak LeBron in when I can. But for now, we'll see you next week for another episode of Cinnamon Sugar Podcast. And don't forget to tune in as Serve the Story releases on our YouTube this Thursday. We'll be back again next Monday with another episode.
Chapter two.
We out.
Say a chapter two episode.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limit.